Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, May 16th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
China's economy pays the price for the government's COVID zero policy.
Goldman Sachs cuts its U.S. economic growth forecast.
Finland and Sweden move closer to joining NATO.
And President Biden calls for action in the wake of the mass shooting in Buffalo.
It was a weekend of gun violence in Buffalo and other cities as well. Plus, Pennsylvania's lieutenant governor suffered a stroke as he runs for the U.S. Senate. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Rangers are moving on. They beat the Penguins in overtime in Game 7. A win for the Yankees, a tough loss for the Mets.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak, being brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing Insight Conference. Back in person June 15th through the 17th in Grapevine, Texas. A must-attend event for financial advisors. Register today at insight.bnymellon.com.
All right, John, thank you. And we are watching this headline cross the Bloomberg. McDonald's to exit from Russia. Again, that just crossing the Bloomberg, and we'll have more details coming up. But first, U.S. futures lower this morning. It's 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 16 points, Dow futures down 58, and NASDAQ futures down 76. John.
And Karen, we begin with disappointing data out of Asia. China's economy contracted in April as COVID lockdowns dragged on the industrial and consumer sectors. Now, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has details.
Retail sales contracted 11.1%. That was weaker than a projected drop of 6.6%. Industrial output down 2.9% from a year ago and worse than an estimate of a modest gain. The unemployment rate rose to 6.1%, and that was higher than the forecast of 6%. Now, despite the slowdown, China's central bank held back from cutting interest rates. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Back here in the U.S., economists at Goldman Sachs are cutting their forecast for U.S. growth. And we get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young in New York. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Goldman Sachs economists see the U.S. growing 2.4% this year and 1.6% in 2023. That's down from 2.6% and 2.2% previously. And it's an adjustment to reflect the shakeout in financial markets as the Federal Reserve tightens monetary policy. Goldman Sachs also projects the unemployment rate will rise to 3.7% by the end of next year after falling to 3.4% in coming months. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Renita. On the same day Goldman cut its forecast, the firm's former boss, Lloyd Blankfein, says the U.S. is at a very high risk for recession.
It's definitely a risk. If I were running a big company, I would be very prepared for it. If I was a consumer, I'd be prepared for it, but it's not baked in the cake.
Former Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein making the comments on Face the Nation from CBS. You can catch the program Sunday afternoons on Bloomberg Radio.
And another note on Goldman this morning, John, in an effort to retain talent, the bank will allow senior staff to take an unlimited number of vacation days. That's according to a company memo seen by Bloomberg News. Junior employees at Goldman still have limits on vacation, but they'll be given at least 2 extra days off per year.
And we have another big company making moves to attract workers. Walmart unveiling a fast-track path to a job as store manager as the retailer seeks to bolster its supply of managers in a tight labor market. More from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
The position of store manager typically pays more than $200,000 a year, and traditionally the job takes years to get. But now Walmart is launching its College to Career program. It will provide classroom training together with hands-on experience and mentoring for recent and soon-to-be grads. Top performers will be offered a role as an emerging coach. The position starts with pay of at least $65,000 a year, with a goal of becoming a store manager within 2 years. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. We do have some possible deal news this Monday morning. JetBlue Airways has made a hostile $3.25 billion takeover bid for Spirit Airlines. JetBlue is trying to block the discount carrier's agreed takeover by Frontier Group. JetBlue is offering $30 a share for Spirit. Traders appear skeptical, though. Spirit shares are trading around $20 in the pre-market.
And another major story we're following involves the mass shooting in Buffalo over the weekend. The Justice Department is investigating this as an act of racially motivated violent extremism. The shooting left 10 people dead and 3 wounded. 11 of the people shot were black. An 18-year-old white man was arrested. President Biden discussed the incident at the U.S. Capitol yesterday.
We must all work together to address the hate that remains a stain on the soul of America. The hearts are heavy once again, but a resolve must never, ever waver.
President Biden is urging police departments to spend federal law enforcement aid, saying it can help reduce gun violence.
Well, turning overseas now, John, it's another dramatic change triggered by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. NATO members are rallying around Finland and Sweden after the countries announced plans to join the alliance. Details now from Amy Morris in our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
At the NATO ministers' meeting in Berlin, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said Washington will support whatever decisions the two countries make.
We've long supported NATO's open-door policy and the right of all countries to decide their own futures, their policies, their security arrangements.
NATO members rallied around Finland and Sweden, with one country, Turkey, voicing concerns. Sweden is sending diplomats to Ankara for talks, and NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg says he does not expect Turkey to delay the membership procedure. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Amy. Another note out of Europe involving the war in Ukraine. Germany says it plans to quit importing Russian oil by the end of the year. That's even if the European Union fails to agree on a ban in its next set of sanctions. Russia's share of German oil consumption has already declined to 12% from about 35% before the war began.
And the price of wheat has skyrocketed since the start of the war, John, and it's climbing again today. Wheat prices soared by the exchange limit after India moved to restrict exports. That shows how tight global food supplies are at the moment. Wheat has risen about 60% this year. That's increased the cost of everything from bread to cake and noodles. And again, McDonald's to exit from Russia. It's pursuing a sale of its entire Russia portfolio. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street, and time to bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. More on the mass shooting in Buffalo. Vigils were held across Buffalo after 10 people were killed and 3 others wounded in what officials are calling a racially motivated attack at a busy supermarket. Police say the suspected gunman, who is 18 and white, had researched the area that is about 73% black. Peyton Gendron appeared in court and pleaded not guilty to murder. New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
I'm calling out the social media platforms where this hate can be spewed. That's and people right. are learning how to create guns and violence and weapons.
Governor Hochul called for government action to control the spread of guns. One of those killed was a church deacon. The church's pastor, Russell Bell.
It boggles my mind that this young man traveled 200 miles, 4 hours, to target our community.
Pastor Bell says the victim, Hayward Patterson, was helping to put groceries in another person's car when he was shot and killed. A mass shooting in California left one person dead and 5 others hurt after a gunman opened fire inside a church in Laguna Woods. Orange County officials say the suspect is an Asian man in his 60s who entered a Taiwanese luncheon at the church. Orange County Undersheriff Jack Hallett says the gunman was disarmed by members of the church and held until authorities came.
We believe a group of churchgoers detained him and hogtied his legs with an extension cord and confiscated at least 2 weapons from him.
Undersheriff Halleck says they don't believe the gunman lives in the area. 2 people were killed, 3 others injured in a shooting near a flea market in North Harris County, Texas. The sheriff's department says a fight led to that shooting. Gun violence in Milwaukee forced the city to impose a 2-night curfew for people under 21. More than 20 people were shot in less than 2 hours in downtown Milwaukee over the weekend. One of the front runners in the race for a U.S. Senate seat in Pennsylvania is sidelined because of a stroke. Pennsylvania's Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman, who is atop the polls ahead of Tuesday's Democratic Senate primary, says he is on his way to a full recovery. The Biden administration today released a housing supply action plan meant to help create thousands of affordable housing units in the next 3 years. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. And it's now 6:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. It was only a first-round series, but what a series it was. Rangers and Penguins. It began at the Garden with triple overtime. It ended back at the Garden overtime once again.
15 seconds with the man advantage. Fox for Panarin. Top the right circle. Moves in. Shoots. Off the... It's in! Oh! It's over! Panarin scores, and the Rangers have won Game 7 in overtime.
Unbelievable. 4-3. That's how it sounded. WEPN. The Rangers lost that series opener. They never led in the series until last night. They trailed 3-1 and then 1-3 in a row and had to come from behind in all three. They trailed last night with 6 minutes left. Mikhail Zibanejad tied the game. Artemi Panarin, the game winner on the power play, 4:45 of OT. 42 saves for Igor Shesterkin as the Penguins had 15 more shots. It's on to round two, game one with the Carolina Hurricanes Wednesday in Raleigh. The other game seven also went overtime. Calgary beat Dallas, but the Dallas Mavericks won their game seven in Phoenix by 33. So the Suns, who have the NBA's best record, are out. The West Finals will be Dallas against Golden State. It'll be Miami and Boston in the East. The Celtics won Game 7 over Milwaukee by 28. The Mets in the ninth inning scored twice, had the bases loaded. Pete Alonso at first appeared to have drawn a game-tying walk on a 3-2 pitch, but the first base umpire called it strike three, and Seattle won 8-7. The Mets lose a series for the first time. The Yankees won 5-1 at Chicago. Another great outing by Nestor Cortez. Yankees were out hit 4-2. The Pirates were out hit 4-0. But 1-0, the Reds threw a no-hitter and lost. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports, John.
All right, John, thanks a lot. And just ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures in the red right now. Dow futures, they're down 40 points. The S&P futures right now 14 points lower. And the NASDAQ futures are down 73. As we take a look at Treasuries this morning, the benchmark 10-year yield at 2.93. That is up one basis point. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And just ahead, Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie will join us to give us a picture of the world's second largest economy and what it means for the investment landscape. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and McDonald's is saying it's going to pull out of Russia after more than 30 years of operation in the country. It's going to also take a write-off of $1.2 billion to $1.4 billion for the move. McDonald's says it has initiated a process to sell the Russian business after temporarily closing its restaurants there. Futures this morning are moving lower. S&P futures down 14 points this morning. Dow futures down 43, and NASDAQ futures down 72. The DAX in Germany is down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32. Yield 2.93%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.60%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.5% or 59 cents at $109.90 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.3% or $5.70 at $18.02.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0421 against the dollar. British pound 1.2241 and the yen at 129.30. Bitcoin this morning lower, down 4% at $29,750. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. NATO members rallied around Finland and Sweden after they announced plans to join the alliance. It marks another dramatic change triggered by Russia's war in Ukraine. Authorities say the white 18-year-old gunman who killed 10 people at a Buffalo supermarket during a rampage that targeted black people had previously made a threat at his high school, but they say Peyton Gendron was never charged. In the NHL playoffs, an exciting Game 7, the Rangers advanced after beating the Penguins in overtime 4-3. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics won their Game 7 against the Bucks. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets, Red Sox, Orioles, Nationals, Giants, and A's all lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thank you, sir. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street, and we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. China's economy paying the price for the government's COVID zero policy. And let's take a deeper dive this morning into this story. Joining us is Bloomberg Radio anchor Tom McKenzie, who covered China for more than 5 years. So, Tom, first of all, thanks for being here. What do the figures tell us about China's economy?
Well, the survey of economists had expected that it was going to be bad for the month of April, but not this bad. The retail numbers in particular stand out. So the Chinese consumer really under pressure as a result of these lockdowns that you've seen, of course, enforced in cities like Shanghai, but also partial lockdowns in cities of Beijing and further northeast as well. You saw retail sales falling more than 11% year on year. The other key component that stood out for me was the unemployment rate, the jobless rate moving above 6%. And that's only a partial slice of the jobless rate that we see across China because of the limitations around that survey. So the actual real number is probably higher than that. And youth unemployment hitting a record, a key concern for the stability-obsessed Communist Party of China. So these are very bad numbers. The second quarter, some economists are saying, could see a contraction. It certainly makes the goal, the year-end goal of getting 5.5% growth, which the government set itself, incredibly challenging.
So does COVID zero remain government policy?
So this is what analysts and economists are watching. Is there going to be any movement? So far, you've had President Xi Jinping and others coming out and reiterating that COVID zero is a policy they will continue to pursue. But you have had officials in cities like Shanghai saying, we now have a roadmap for easing these restrictions. They're looking at between mid to end June to get back to some level of normalization. And they've started to allow some shops and some services to start reopening again in a very gradual, phased way. We know that officials are looking at additional policy stimulus for this economy, but it's very hard to implement when large parts of that economy face these kind of restrictions. For now, the top line is COVID zero isn't going away anywhere.
Okay, what kind of pushback are they getting? We've all seen those videos of confrontations in the streets.
It's been substantial. I've been in contact with people, with friends in Shanghai. There is deep resentment, deep anger about this policy. And certainly there's been a lot of videos and evidence of the heavy-handedness of this approach. You have still hundreds of thousands of people in that key financial city, Shanghai, of course, the second most important city in China, the beating financial heart of it, locked down still. And they've been in that situation for more than 50 days. They've had problems around accessing food, around accessing healthcare. Again, the officials say they now have a plan to start to gradually open up, but there is deep resentment, deep anger. How long that lasts after this is something certainly to watch and to gauge.
How firmly is Xi Jinping in power at this point?
Most China watchers suggest that there's very little chance that President Xi Jinping is facing any real threat to his power. However, there is some speculation and some are pointing to potential divisions between him and Premier Li Keqiang, who has come out and urged greater support for the economy and talked of the concerns and the impact of these COVID zero policies. Some are reading into that commentary by Premier Li Keqiang as a suggestion that there's a rift at the top. No one that I know who is watching China closely thinks President Xi Jinping is imminently threatened by any of this. But certainly it's likely to cause tensions within the party because this is a very difficult balancing act.
All right, back to the economic front. What are the country's targets right now? How realistic are they?
So 5.5% is the end-of-year GDP target that they've set themselves. And again, some economists that we've spoken to have suggested you're going to get contraction in the second quarter. Most economists think that hitting that 5.5% GDP is going to be very challenging. The Politburo, so the top leaders within the Communist Party, have come out and said they are determined to meet those goals. We've seen some changes around the edges in terms of policy support. So, for example, over the weekend, they cut the mortgage rate for first-time buyers to try and bolster the real estate sector. But again, it's very challenging to implement policy when so much of the economy is locked down. The other element that we saw, the data we saw on Friday, was that loan growth actually shrank quite considerably. People have obviously, homeowners and people wanting to buy cars and service their apartments aren't taking out loans because they are concerned, of course, about their job prospects, and many of them are locked into their own homes. So loan growth has shrunk considerably, meaning that credit isn't getting to the system. So there's a transmission problem between the PBOC, the People's Bank of China, and people living and operating on the ground there.
real quick, the implication for supply chains?
Well, we've seen analysis by Bloomberg, 180 companies out of the earnings sector, the conglomerates, those with exposure to China, have talked about supply chains and concerns about the impacts on China. You've just seen the likes of Tesla have been hit by this. Their factory in Shanghai was locked down for three weeks, or had to stop production for 3 weeks. They're now back up and running. Apple's been impacted by this. So the supply chain challenges are certainly significant.
Bloomberg Radio anchor Tom McKenzie. Tom, thanks very much. We appreciate it. And ahead of the market open on Wall Street, futures in the red right now. Dow futures down 63, S&P futures down 16, and the NASDAQ futures 80 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Daybreak being brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy, especially in times of crisis. Make your giving impactful. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by IBKR. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interests at IBKR.com/RIA. Up first, industrial output and retail sales in China fell in April while unemployment climbed. COVID lockdowns are being blamed. Shetanaya, chief Asia economist at Morgan Stanley, says outlook remains strong once China moves past its COVID zero policy.
You do need solution to this near zero COVID policy. It's not about just the economic policy easing itself. Now we need to see that, you know, economy gets going with freeing up of restrictions on mobility.
Morgan Stanley's Shetanaya says China's supply chain constraints also appear to be easing.
And back here in the U.S., Goldman Sachs cutting growth forecast. Bloomberg's Renita Young joins us live in New York with more. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, John. Goldman Sachs economists see the U.S. growing 2.4% this year and 1.6% in 2023. That's down from 2.6% and 2.2%. It reflects the shakeout in financial markets as the Federal Reserve tightens monetary policy. Goldman projects unemployment to rise to 3.7% by the end of 2023, after falling to 3.4% in coming months. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, Goldman's former leader Lloyd Blankfein warns the U.S. should prepare for a recession despite the Fed's best efforts to avoid one.
I think the Fed has very powerful tools. It's hard to finely tune them, and it's hard to see the effects of them quickly enough to alter it.
Former Goldman Sachs CEO Lloyd Blankfein spoke on Face the Nation from CBS, which airs Sundays on Bloomberg Radio.
And we're tracking the latest from this weekend's mass shooting in Buffalo. It left 10 people dead, 3 wounded. 11 of the people shot were black. President Biden spoke about the arrest of the 18-year-old white suspect.
The Justice Department has stated publicly that it is investigating the matter as a hate crime. Racially motivated act of white supremacy and violent extremism.
President Biden speaking at the National Peace Officers Memorial in Washington.
And John, fallout from Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Finland and Sweden announced they plan to join NATO, and McDonald's is exiting Russia with a complete sale of its portfolio. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, and let's bring in Michael Barr now to tell us what else is going on in New York and around the world.
Thank you very much, John. More on the mass shooting in Buffalo. New York Governor Kathy Hochul called on social media companies to do more to crack down on racist, anti-immigrant, and anti-Semitic rhetoric on their platforms. Governor Hochul says the man accused of shooting and killing 10 people in a Buffalo supermarket was radicalized online. Hochul says the accused 18-year-old shooter broadcast the attack, which took place in a predominantly black neighborhood and had posted a white supremacist manifesto online. The governor also called on the government to control the spread of guns.
This is not Ukraine where they're defending their lives. This is the United States of America. We don't need those weapons in our streets and on our hands.
Governor Hochul spoke at Macedonia Baptist Church in Buffalo. A mass shooting in California left one person dead and five others hurt after a gunman opened fire inside a church in Laguna Woods. Orange County authorities say the gunman was disarmed by members of the church and held until authorities came. Shootings also took place in Texas and Milwaukee. The leading Democratic candidate in the U.S. Senate race in Pennsylvania, State Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman, suffered a stroke. Fetterman released a brief video on Twitter with his wife.
It was on Friday. I just wasn't feeling very well, so I decided, you know what, I need to get checked out, so I went to the hospital.
I need to get checked out, because I was right, as always.
It's not clear when Fetterman will return to the campaign trail ahead of Tuesday's primary. Two bills aimed at resolving the baby formula crisis appear to be coming together on Capitol Hill. One is an emergency funding bill that would allow the U.S. to purchase formula from FDA-approved facilities in four countries. Another would widen formula access under a low-income program. This Massachusetts mom says she's been driving all over New England looking for formula for her 10-month-old daughter.
I was in the car today for 4 hours. The seven stores I checked personally, none of them but one had my daughter's formula.
She also says some internet sites are involved in price gouging. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un blasted officials over slow medicine deliveries. The North has ordered his military to respond to the largely undiagnosed COVID-19 crisis that has left 1.2 million people ill with fever and 50 dead in a matter of days. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 6:36 on Wall Street, and that's time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stanshaw.
Thanks, John. When the Rangers lost Game 4 in Pittsburgh 7-2, things didn't look good. They were down 3-1, only twice in franchise history had they won a series from down 3-1, but they came from 2 goals down to win Game 5, did the same thing in Game 6 in Pittsburgh, and trailed again last night with under 6 minutes to play.
Marino, batted around, taken by Coppers, a batter chance, he scores! There we go! Vinkas Zibanejad has tied Game 7 with 5:45 to go. It's 3-all at the Garden.
WEPN, so like the Game 1 at the Garden, they went triple overtime. Overtime in Game 7. Rangers got a power play. Artemi Panarin, who had a somewhat quiet series, scored 4:45 of OT, and the Rangers won 4-3 and won the series 4-3. And now face the Carolina Hurricanes, Game 1 Wednesday in Raleigh. Also overtime in Game 7 at Calgary, the Flames beat Dallas, so Dallas split Game 7s. The Mavericks, in a stunner, blew out the Suns in Phoenix, 123-90. They're up 30 at halftime. So Dallas will play Golden State in the NBA's West Finals. The Celtics will take on Miami in the East. Boston won Game 7 over Milwaukee, 109-81. So the NBA Game 7s were both blowouts, and the two NHL Game 7s both went overtime. Yankees had only 2 hits and won 5-1 at Chicago. Another great outing by Nestor Cortez. His ERA, 1.35. Yanks have won 18 of the last 21. A Met ninth inning comeback fell short. They lost to Seattle 8-7. They lose a series for the first time. The Cincinnati Reds threw a no-hitter and lost in Pittsburgh 1-0. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks very much. It is right now 6:37 on Wall Street, and time to take a look at stocks and some of the names that are moving in the pre-market this morning. And for that, we're joined by Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. Kriti, I'm not saying there's a food shortage, but there's certainly worries on that end, and that's giving a boost to some of the stocks that we're looking at this morning.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, over the weekend, we heard that India is now looking to have an export ban on wheat. This is really important as we talk about the impact of Ukraine and Russia, the idea that 25%, over 25% of the world's grain supply is essentially not hitting the market because of the war that's happening in that region. So you have to look to other countries like India, like the United States, to make up some of that impact. And when you do have a country like India come out and say, as they did over the weekend, that they're going to ban some of their exports. They are going to help out some of the countries they already have contracts with, Egypt, for example, but they're not going to be that plan B that a lot of the agricultural industry was really hoping they would be in terms of getting their hands on the grain supply. John, this comes also after last week. You had a report from the USDA, I believe, coming out and saying that the grain harvest in the United States is now hitting a six-year low. A lot of this has to do with climate. It has to do with simply the crop conditions as well. But what that means for the stock impact is companies like Archer Daniels Midland, which, of course, is exposed to a lot of that farming equipment. ADM is your ticker. It's up 1.7% because it means there's going to be more and more need to invest in things like farming equipment, in agricultural products, fertilizer, which brings me to my other stock you want to keep your eye on, Mosaic, MOS. Up 1.7%. So clearly an agricultural story having a read-through into the broader market.
All right. Well, China had some pretty ambitious economic targets to meet, and they ran smack into COVID zero. So I imagine some of the stocks tied to China are taking it on the chin.
Yeah, the best place to look at that, I mean, we got a lot of that eco data overnight where they said a lot of that consumer spending, industrial spending has dropped because of the lockdowns, a zero COVID policy they're not really going to stray from. An immediate impact into some of your worst performers this morning, Wynn Resorts, for example, WYNN, and Las Vegas Sands, LVS, both down about 3% in the pre-market. And this has everything to do with the idea of their exposure in Macau and in Hong Kong. So, of course, those are going to be stocks you want to keep an eye on when it comes to the Chinese eco data actually having ripple effects into American businesses. So keep an eye on those stocks, John.
Kriti, always a pleasure. Thanks. Appreciate it. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us this Monday morning. And looking at stocks as a whole ahead of the cash open on Wall Street. Right now we have the S&P E-mini futures. They're down 13 points. The Dow futures, 37 points lower, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures are down 69 points. Give it treasuries here as well. The 10-year yield, the benchmark, up 1 basis point. The yield, 2.92%. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg weather from meteorologist Rob Carolett. Mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms, especially this afternoon. Now, some of these could be severe. The high temperature today, 75 to 80 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures lower this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Modest losses in the futures right now. Dow futures down 32 points. S&P's dropped 12, while Nasdaq futures are lower by 62. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.93%. Gold is down 8. Oil is also in the red. And Bitcoin is down by 3.6%. Japan rose 0.5% overnight, while European markets are trading mixed this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, Empire Manufacturing. In deal news, JetBlue made a hostile takeover offer for Spirit Airlines at $30 a share. In other news, Goldman Sachs cut U.S. growth forecasts for 2022 and 2023, and McDonald's is exiting Russia with a complete sale of its portfolio to a local buyer. Wrapping things up, Marathon Petroleum cuts a neutral at Goldman Sachs. Alibaba ADRs were raised to overweight at J.P. Morgan, and SoFi was raised to overweight over at Piper. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Finland announced that it would seek NATO membership after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Sweden's governing party also endorsed the idea of applying to join the alliance. Ahead of his planned visit to Buffalo tomorrow, President Biden is saying that it is time to address the hate that remains a stain on the soul of America. The mass shooting that left 10 people dead and 3 wounded at a supermarket in upstate New York is being described as a racially motivated massacre. In the NHL playoffs, an exciting Game 7, the Rangers advanced after beating the Penguins in overtime 4-3. In the NBA playoffs, the Celtics won their Game 7 against the Bucks. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets, Red Sox, Orioles, Nationals, Giants, A's all lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Karen.
Mary Meckel, thank you. At 6:49 on Wall Street, we turn to news and science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Authorities say most of Shanghai has stopped the spread of the coronavirus in the community, and fewer than 1 million people remain under strict lockdown. Supermarkets, malls, and restaurants were allowed to reopen with limits on the numbers of people and mandated no-contact transactions. But most of the city's 25 million people remain under some form of restriction. Movement around the city is highly limited, and the subway train system remains closed for now. 6 months after the signing of President Joe Biden's $1 trillion infrastructure package, the government says there are 4,300 projects underway. Of the $110 billion announced so far, more than $52 billion is for federal highway funding this fiscal year and $20.5 billion for public transit. There's another $27 billion over 5 years for bridges, as well as money for safety, rural highways, airports, ports, drought resilience, and other programs. And it's the latest move by a Wall Street bank to retain talent in a hot job market. Goldman Sachs will allow senior staff to take an unlimited number of vacation days. That's according to a company memo seen by Bloomberg. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. John.
Unlimited vacation. All right, Karen. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. And some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden calling for action after the mass shootings over the weekend. NATO preparing to add Finland and Sweden to northern defenses. Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell counters isolationist voices in the Republican Party on Ukraine. And John Fetterman, the leading Democratic candidate for the U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania, says he is now recovering after being hospitalized. One-time rising star Madison Cawthorn faces a Republican fight as his gaffes start to pile up. And let's take a deeper dive into some of these stories this morning with Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. The president addressing the mass shootings over the weekend, Emily. And what exactly is he calling for?
So President Biden has really focused on the fact that these shootings were racially motivated, that the shooter chose an area, chose a supermarket in Buffalo, New York, that did have a higher percentage of Black Americans there to carry out his shooting. And Biden has made it clear that, you know, that this is unacceptable. And he's pleaded for you've heard him really talk about the need to sort of, you know, work together to address the hate that remains stain on the soul of America. That's one of the things we heard him say over the weekend. But what you didn't hear, I think, is actually what's a little bit more newsy, John, and that's you did not hear a call from Biden for federal action. At this point, it's clear, as it has been for some time, that there are just not the votes that are needed for the Senate to wind up passing any sort of legislation that either, you know, reduces the access to guns or requires additional standards or metrics to get gun control. You did hear a call for federal action from New York Governor Kathy Hochul, as well as some local officials. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said this was a huge priority. But again, I mean, she knows the math. She knows that at this point, because of the makeup of the House and the Senate, the House was able to pass some legislation, but that there's no way at this point that gets through the Senate.
And not to mention this, the Supreme Court also at some point is going to take up New York City, for instance, the local restrictions on guns. The next story I want to focus on real quick here, Emily. NATO preparing to add a couple of more members to the northern defenses, namely Finland and Sweden. How is this playing out, and what is Vladimir Putin's reaction to it, I guess, is one of the things we'll have to watch out for.
So, yeah, I mean, this is being welcomed by a number of countries, including the U.S., that Finland and Sweden. On Sunday, they announced their plans to join the alliance. And this has really come as due to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, that the leaders of both these countries said that it is important that, you know, if they come under attack, that they will be helped by these other states, and that they'll be able to help other countries if they're attacked. And so this is certainly something that we've kind of seen this direct correlation to. I mean, certainly certainly this isn't what Putin wanted to happen, where he wanted to weaken NATO. He wanted to stop NATO's expansion. He was very concerned about that. Instead, this war has risen fears in these other countries about leading them to say, hey, we actually need NATO now. We were, you know, being neutral and impartial before. But now that we're seeing what Russia is doing to Ukraine, we think that we need to take the precautions needed to join NATO at this time.
And related to that, the Senate Republican leader, Mitch McConnell, he's been overseas kind of countering the isolationist voices in his own party. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so McConnell actually met with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, and this comes as the Senate is working to pass $40 billion of financial aid to Ukraine. This will be for things like military, including humanitarian aid, aid for refugees, aid to start, you know, rebuilding and re-coming back as a country. The difficulty here was that they tried to move this legislation via an expedited process last week, and it got held up by one senator, Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. And I think what McConnell's really trying to do here is to try and counteract any sort of message that the U.S. is not united on this. One thing you've heard from McConnell, from Pelosi, from Biden, from really all the top leaders, is how important it is that the U.S. brings forward a very unified front in their support of Ukraine and in their opposition to Russia. And I think what you're seeing McConnell do here is a little bit of damage control, saying, hey, don't, just because we had one senator who did not vote to pass this quickly because he wanted additional amendment text, don't misunderstand. The U.S. still stands very much behind Ukraine.
And some local politics, a little more local. John Fetterman, he's the leading candidate from the Democratic Party for the Senate in Pennsylvania. What's the update on this story? He had a stroke.
Yeah, and he says that he is now recovering after being hospitalized for a stroke. He says that he was able to get to a hospital within minutes of his first symptoms. Those appeared on Friday. He says that he's feeling much better, that they didn't suffer any cognitive damage. This guy, he's only 52. He canceled some of his weekend campaigning. I mean, that might wind up being the biggest impact here, is that he's not on the trail the weekend before his campaign. But currently, he is up for about 30 points over his competition. And he's well poised at this point to win that nomination for the Democratic primary, and that'll take place this Tuesday.
And real quick, one-time rising star in the Republican Party, Madison Cawthorn. Who is he, and what's he up against?
Yeah, so Madison Cawthorn, he's a Republican, very pro-Trump. He's from a very solidly Republican district in North Carolina, and he is the youngest member of Congress. And he's facing a very, very tough primary right now. And this is because of several reasons. Number one, just some scrutiny and criticism over some of his statements. He called Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky a thug. That was very much criticized by those within his own party. He also suggested that Republicans were having orgies and doing cocaine. That also upset a number of individuals in his own party, to the extent that you now have one of the Republican senators running against, advertising against him. So he faces a very tough primary as well.
All right, Emma, thanks a lot. Bloomberg's Emily Wilkins, and you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. And you can also follow the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. That's Bloomberg 99.1 at 105.7 FM HD2. Head of the cash open on Wall Street. Right now, the futures are lower. The Dow futures down 52 points. S&P E-mini futures are 14 points lower. And the NASDAQ futures are down 65 points. I'm John Tucker for Karen Moscow. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Just ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance.